We'll be looking in Daniel chapter 6. My goal this morning is to get everyone saved. And even you who are saved, to get you resaved. When Christians hear the gospel, they believe all over again. Doesn't mean you lost your salvation. It just means you have to repent of your sins and continue to believe. So I'm going to aim for all of you. And you say, you're preaching to me. That is exactly right. I'm preaching to you. And I want to make this salvation so hard that only true believers can enter into it. We have a cheap salvation today. And many of you think you're saved, and it's because you have a cheap salvation. It's not the salvation that Christ comes to offer that will cost you everything. It's a salvation of just small inconveniences. Just, you know, go to church, say a prayer, give a little money to the church, read your Bible here and there, feel convicted about this or that, and you're good to go. But what if salvation is much, much more difficult than that? What if salvation is so hard, so difficult, that you have to be born again to enter into it? Because the terms of salvation are so radical, so high, that very few people are willing to pay the price. What are the terms of salvation? What must you do to be saved? Well, I just believe, right? That's simple. No, believing is for those who are ready to forsake their idolatry. Those who are ready to forsake this world. You got to want to be saved before you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to want it. And some of you don't want the salvation that Christ has to offer. You want heaven, but you don't want holiness. You want heaven, but you don't want to sacrifice this life. You don't want to give up the rights that you have over your life. You're trying to keep this life, this world. You're trying to keep hold of the things you love, your idols, as you reach out and grab hold of Jesus Christ. But Jesus makes it clear that you cannot love this world and love Him at the same time. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot hold on one hand with this world and the other hand Christ Jesus. You have to let go of everything. You have to let go of this world and everything in this world. Even your love for your mother and your father, your children, this is high, high. Mothers, can you put Christ above your children? Some of you say, no, Christ wouldn't ask me that. Yes, He would, and He does. If you love your little baby more than Jesus Christ, that little baby's an idol in your life, and that little baby's going to take you to hell. What about money? Many people go to hell because of a love of money. And they know the gospel. Could you imagine being in hell for the rest of eternity, all of eternity, and you knew that Jesus died for sinners, you knew the way of salvation, and you just wanted to have your little time of fun now, you just wanted to get more of this world, and you just couldn't let it go, and now forever and all eternity you're going to have to suffer for it? And some of you young children or teenagers, some of you teenagers, you want to be saved, but not now. Not right now. You got too much life to live. You got too much joy to experience. You know, you just got too much to let go. Maybe later, when I'm older. Some of you older people, you've been saying that all your life, and you're on the brink of death, but you still will not let go of this world. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ, Luke 9. It says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily," and that's for us Christians. That's why we need to be saved every day. "Daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" Can you imagine? Could you imagine if you were Steve Jobs? Could you imagine? No one wants to take his place now. We would have maybe took his place 10 years ago, but not now. But you know he can't come back? He's eternally separated from God because he was an atheist. A man of great success and wealth, but a man who had rejected God. And now that death has taken him, he can't come back. Jesus says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. For whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." If you're going to get life, you've got to lose this life. That's the cost. If you want eternal life, you got to die to this life and this world and everything this side of eternity. You got to die to it. Give it up. Let it go. This is the story of Daniel. We tell this story to our kids, Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel chapter 6. Amazing story. But here's Daniel. He's basically at the top of the chain. He's almost, if you would, being promoted to the second in charge of the kingdom. He has fame, he has wealth, he has prosperity, he has power, he has everything. He's an older man, but he's accomplished everything. And his companions, his co-workers, are envious of him. And they couldn't find any fault in his work ethic or his life. The only thing they said we could find fault in him is that he worships another god. So they planned and schemed and created a conspiracy against Daniel. They conspired. And you know the story. They went to the king and played on his pride, preyed on his arrogance. "Oh, king, you're great, you're wonderful. You should make this decree that everybody petitions you, not another god or not anybody else, because you are the head. You're the provider. You're the leader. You're the one who is in charge here. And so everybody should look to you and your provisions. Look to government. Not to God." And he kind of liked that. And so he made a decree. that for 30 days, those who didn't petition him would be thrown into a den of lions. What did Daniel do? What did he do? Did he say to himself, "Whoa, I don't want to die? The cost of discipleship is too expensive. I don't want to be a martyr. I mean, following Christ is great in the good days, but now that it could cost me something, this is too expensive." Did he say, "You know, I will pray in private. I will go into the closet and pray. I don't have to open the window. I can keep my faith, but not show it to the world. I can be a private Christian." Some of you are like that. You want to be a Christian in private or when you come to church, but not at work. Because truthfully, if you had to be honest with yourself, you're ashamed of Christ before others. And you know it might cost you a friend or a promotion. You know, maybe it's not a den of lions, it's just that you're not going to be liked. But Daniel, knowing the cost, knowing that it could cost him his life, opened the window and prayed towards Jerusalem like he always did. And it took just one prayer, so it seems, or a few prayers, and they arrested him. Did he recant? Did he plead, "Well, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry, King. Please forgive me"? He stared down the den of lions and was willing to be thrown into it. In fact, God didn't prevent it from happening. You know, where was God to stop it before it happened? You know, it got to the last second, and God just stood and watched as Daniel went in. The next day, we know the end of the story. He comes out alive. But the amazing thing, the people who conspired against Daniel, those are the ones that died. Those are the ones that had to have life. Those are the ones who lost their life. Daniel is the one who gave up his life. He's the one who found his life. You see, you have to be a Daniel. You have to determine today, will I be a Daniel? Not I hope I'm going to be a Daniel. You have to determine in your heart, I'm not going to just give up this world and my life to God. I'm doing it right now. I'm setting in my heart today that God, you can have everything I have. And you know, you can't threaten someone who's already given up everything. You can't take anything away from someone who's a servant of Christ because he's already given everything over. And many reasons you had a bad day, and I have a bad day. We have bad days because we're complaining about this little thing happening and that little thing's happening when we should say to ourselves, "Lord, it's yours anyway. It's not mine. I've already given it over. Why am I trying to take it back?" That's why we have to be resaved in this sense, that we have to pick up our cross every day. Every day, and deny ourselves. Every day, because every day we wake up, we throw our money to the Lord and say, "Lord, you can have everything I have. You can have my life. You can have my children, my family. I trust you with it. I trust you." And then we go to sleep, we wake up, and it's all back in our pockets. But we have to redo it. And now is the day, this is the day for all of us. If you're lost, if you're saved, every one of us needs to be fully empty when we leave this room. Fully empty. I'm not going to hang on to one thread of my rights, one thread of my possessions, one thread of my life. You can have it all. Take it. Take everything. I wish I have more to give. But what little I have, take it. Use it as you see fit. I will humbly submit to what you want. Kill me tomorrow. Let me live to be 110. Whatever you want, I will do. Make me rich, make me poor. That doesn't concern me. What concerns is that I am yours and yours is and you are mine. You see, we must be willing to die if we're going to live. That's the point of this story of Daniel. So let's ask these two questions as we examine where we are. Are we a Daniel or not? Are we like those who clung and grasped after this life? The conspirators, Daniel's co-workers and companions. We see in verse 4 that they were envious of Daniel. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could not find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. They were envious. They saw that he was about to be promoted, that he outskilled them. He was basically liked better, more famous, had more authority, and they wanted that. They coveted his position. They wanted him to be demoted and for them to be promoted. See, we need to be aware of greed and envy and covetousness because it's idolatry, the Bible says. Covetousness is idolatry. When you say, hey, that person has more money and has a nicer house and has more things than I have, it's just not fair. You are saying that you're not a Daniel. You're saying that you're not willing to sacrifice all for Christ because you're envious of that which you do not have. Proverbs tells us a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. You can't be a Christian and be envious, or you can't be a faithful Christian and continue in envy. We all become envious here and there, but that's something we have to crucify. The Bible tells us in James 3, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. See, it was the envy in their heart, the grasping after that which they didn't have, the coveting of that which they did not possess. That led to all manner of sins. You know, where does wars and fights come from among you? It's because you envy, because you lust. You want that which you don't have, and so you're battling among yourselves. And this envy led them to hideous sins. I mean, here, I would imagine that these were pretty good people at one time, or at least relatively speaking. But seeing Daniel promoted was their undoing. They couldn't handle it. So we see in verses 5 through 9, then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Then these presidents, satraps, came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. I mean, these people have started off with envy, and now they're conspiring to kill someone. They're willing to take someone's life in their grasp for power. Envy is called self-seeking in the book of James. Paul calls it those who seek their own interest. You see, greed leads to little slight compromise. This is how it works when you're greedy or you're afraid to let something go or you're afraid to lose something. Someone comes to you and you make this little lie to keep it. Little lie to keep your little possessions. It's a slight little compromise. But then, once you're willing to sin, to grasp this world, it leads to all manner of evil to the point that you could be like these people in your pursuit of this world, the pursuit of your best life now. You're willing to kill for it. You're willing to scheme to get what you want. So we need to ask ourselves, as we think about these schemers and these people who tried to kill Daniel because they wanted what Daniel had. They wanted this life. They couldn't let it go. Ask yourself, what idols do you currently have right now? What am I hanging on to that I won't let go? Some of you may say, hey, God, you can have this, you can have that, because we make deals with God all the time. And some of you are not a Christian because you're trying to bargain with Christian. You're with God. You're trying to make a deal with God. I did that before. I'll stop this. I'll stop that. I'll quit doing this if you'll save me. But there was always something in the back that I wouldn't bring up. That was mine. I'm not going to let that go. I can remember being about 11 or 12 years old and in a sermon about like this, listening to my dad preach a sermon, and I remember being under conviction of the Holy Spirit. I knew that I had to forsake this world. I knew the terms of salvation. It was clear to me what I needed to do. And I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was going to hell. I was under conviction, and the service was over, and I'm sitting there in my chair, or the pew, and I'm sitting there under the weight of my sin. Then one of my friends came up to me. Come on, let's go play freeze tag. And I was in a dilemma. I was stuck for a second. What do I do? Get right with God? Or go play with my friends? I look back on this and I don't think I should be alive today because of me being 11 years old, knowing what I needed to do, I chose a game over my soul. And I said to God, later, I could do this later. I'll come back later. And I shouldn't be alive. I should have been struck down dead for that. I really believe that. And some of you maybe right there, right now, you know you need to be saved. You know you're lost. You know you're a sinner. You know that you have no hope in yourself. And you know the terms is like, give up everything. But you're sitting there going, I just can't. You're just like the rich young ruler who heard the terms of salvation. You must sell all that you have, give to the poor, come follow me. Have no idols in your life. The rich young ruler just couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He had too much possessions. It was just too expensive. And so you're thinking, I'd rather play freeze tag than go to heaven. Because you're a fool. You think you're going to be able to keep that which you're holding on to. Your little life that you're not willing to give up, you think you're going to keep it. But you won't. That's the foolishness of it all. The things you won't sacrifice, you're not going to take with you. It's certain that you brought nothing into this world, and God has made it certain that you're not going to take anything out of this world. You're going to lose everything. You're going to die. It's just a matter of when. Might as well die today so you can gain something you can't lose than to keep that which you think you have and lose it for all eternity. But we know the end of the story is these people could not give up the pursuit of wealth, pursuit of authority, power, fame. It cost them everything. The end of the story is they that were thrown into the den of lions. It was they that God did not shut the mouth of the lions. And God ate them and their children, the whole family, before they could even hit the bottom of the den. Those who can't forsake everything now, they're going to suddenly and unexpectedly lose everything one day. Jump down to verse 24. And the king commanded, and these men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. They and their children and their wives, and before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Not only this is death, it's an awful death. You know, the very moment they thought they were about to obtain a better life is the very moment they lost their life. Reminds me of the man that was a wealthy man that had all that he needed for the rest of his life. He could retire and had more than sufficient supplies. He had barns that were full. And as he was looking at his wealth, he goes, I could use more. I could use more. I'm going to tear down these barns because he's covetous. He's not content. I can tear down these barns. I'll build bigger ones so I can really be at ease. And Jesus calls him a fool because that very day his life would be taken from him. Some people, they have such a big retirement, but they die and enjoy none of it. I heard of people that lived on pennies a day, couldn't spend a dollar, couldn't enjoy life at all because they put everything back, and they live like that, and then when they're dead, they find out that there's tons of money in the bank. What good is that? What good is that? Even Solomon said, you know, a man builds up his wealth and his kids come and spend it all. Man, I'm not against retirement. We should think about the future. But listen, retirement is not thinking about the future long enough. It's short-sighted. If all you're thinking about is a few years of enjoying a little of a nest egg, if that's all you're thinking about, you're way too short-sighted. Why don't you think about eternity? Why don't you lay up your treasures where rust and moth and thieves cannot take it away? Why not just give it all to God? Well, that's radical thinking, Jeff. It's not really that radical. It's all going to be gone anyway. You can't take a dollar with you. I mean, Jesus said the people of the world are wiser than the children of God because they know how to plan for the future, but we know there's an eternity. We know that this life is short. We know that what we do for this life will be passing away, yet we don't do more. If we were wise, we'd go like, hey, this week I'm going to do $10 more than last week. What's $10? Well, it's just $10 more than last week is what it is. You see, their death wasn't all of a sudden just to come down upon these people. It was merciless. Look at verse 24. And the king commanded, and these men had spitefully accused Daniel, were brought and cast into the den of lions. And we know what happened. They weren't just eaten up. I mean, their bones were crushed. This is a terrible way to go. But I tell you, hell is much more dangerous or scary, terrible than a den of lions. I want to speak to your hearts, children. Children go to hell too. What do you have that you can't let go of? What do you have that you say I'm just not going to give it up to God? I implore you, I if I could just make the decision for you, I would. But I can't. But I beseech you in the place of Christ Jesus, who is beseeching you through me, give up everything now. Now, as we looked at those who would not give up and lost everything, who wanted life but lost life, let's look at those who are willing to give up life but will gain it. Now, what is the difference between the prodigal son and the rich young ruler? Now, let me recap the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son is the one who had some money, but he went and spent it all, and he became dirt poor. So poor was he. He was homeless, and he had no money and no food, and he was feeding the pigs. Can you imagine this? The slop that you throw into the pig pen, and you see the pigs greedily go after that, and you're watching them eat, and you're going, man, that looks good. He kind of realized how gross that was, and he came to his sense, himself. His reason came back to him. He's like, wait a minute. I don't have anything. I have nothing. I might as well go back to my father and just humble myself. I have nothing to give up. In fact, I have nothing but to gain and nothing to give up. See, those are the people who are saved when they realize they don't have anything to give to God. Now, God says you have to give up everything, but if you were wise, you would come to the point that you have really nothing to give. You're a sinner. And God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your life. He doesn't need you. It's not like you can earn your salvation by giving God money. You can't do nothing. You have nothing. And you need to come to sense that, to yourself that I'm a wicked, undeserving sinner. See, that was the prodigal son. The rich young ruler is the one who had wealth. So much so, when he left, Jesus said that it's easier for a big old camel to go through a little bitty hole, the little eye of a needle. And the apostles realized that's impossible. That's not going to happen. And Jesus says, that's right. It can happen. Rich people are righteous people, are people who are famous, people who have this world and people who love this world, people who want to grab hold of this world, those people who have to have their life now, you can't be saved. You can't. You cannot have this world and have Christ too. It's just impossible. But thankfully, what is impossible with man is possible with God. See, there's a difference between the prodigal son and the rich young ruler. One knew he had nothing. The other one thought he had something. And if you think about it, Daniel was more like the rich young ruler. He wasn't the prodigal son who had nothing. Daniel was second in charge. Daniel had all the money he needed. Daniel had fame. We see that in verses 1 and 2 that he had power, and it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps and throughout the whole kingdom and over the presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. So he's one among three, and we'll learn later that he was going to be promoted to one above the other two. He's going to be second in command. He had fame. Look at verse 3. Then to this day he was going to be distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps because of the excellent spirit that was in him. Have you ever met someone that when they walk in the room, they take over the room because they're taller than everybody, they have a charismatic personality, they're full of energy, and they're optimistic? They're just likable. And they have just a dominating personality, and people like them. And they're wise, or they're smart and clever. And Daniel was just someone like that, that had an excellent spirit. People liked him. He was wise, he was smart. He had everything, it seems. And yet he still had more to gain. It's not like he had reached the pinnacle. There was still more. He was about to be promoted. And we see that in verse 3. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. He had the Medo-Persian dream. All that he could ever wanted, he had. He was important. He was powerful. He was full of, had honor. He had riches. Daniel had it all. That would be hard to give up. It'd be hard to give up. But in that state, he went and prayed. He would lose everything. He would lose everything. Not just his life, but all that he had gathered and accomplished. Some of you, you know, your salvation was just real, like, you just made a little simple prayer. Lord, forgive me. You know, I'm sorry. I accept you in my heart. I do you a favor. I bring you in here. You haven't given up anything, nor are you willing to give up anything. And that's why when it comes to pushing stuff, people quickly forsake Christ. You know why churches are shutting down during COVID? Some people are just not going to go back. They're not going back to church because of this, because they didn't have much of a faith to begin with. Just a little bit of trials is enough to keep them from serving the Lord. Now, think of Daniel. Do you don't think the devil put this in his mind? Daniel, you're second in charge. God needs you. You can be a great protection for the Jews. And if you die, think about what that might do to your people. Do you don't think he thought that? You know, did you not think that he thought this? I'll just go pray like I normally do in the back part of the room. You know, you and I would be thinking that. I can keep my faith and keep my life. I can keep my faith and not have to sacrifice much. That must have been his temptation. But he didn't do that. When he opened the window and went in front of it like he always did, I think he knew it was his death sentence. I think he was willing to die before he prayed. I think that's where you and I need to be. We need to be willing to die today before persecution comes. You know who they're going to come after, right? When they start shutting down churches for preaching against homosexuality, don't you? It's going to be the pastors first. Seminary students need to kind of figure out if they're going to serve the Lord now or not. Am I going to stand up when the time comes? And if you can't do it now, you're not going to do it then. If you can't give up your life now, you won't when it matters. That's why every Christian is a martyr, at least potentially, because you've to be a Christian, you already said you can have it. You don't become willing at the time. You have to do it now to be saved. And every day you have to pick up your cross and recommit yourself to the Lord and hand things back over, your business, your life, your money, your health. You see, it was Daniel in the end and not his conspirators who lived. The good news is that we may die. But what have we lost? Nothing. Not if we really believe in heaven. If we really believe in glory. We're thinking about our friend Joe Tigrine, who has demonstrated to the world and to us that he's let everything go. What a blessing that man is to us as a church. He's letting his children go. Now let's continue to pray for that. hard. It's not meant to be easy. But he's saying goodbye to this world and to his family. And he's not cursing God. He's not going, God, what are you doing? He believes that there's life after this life. And he wants his kids to come with him to that eternal abode. We can read verses 18 through 23, but what we'll see in there is not only did God spare Daniel by closing the lion's mouth, he brought him out of that pit and promoted him even further than he would have been promoted before. And, you know, he might have said, well, if I was alive and not dead, I could be a better service to the Jews. I tell you what, there was no better service to God and to the Jews than testifying that he's willing to die, because that is what brought Darius to the point of saying, your God alone could do this. So don't think your little compromises will glorify God. They won't. Say, God, you know how to glorify yourself. I will submit to your will. I will trust you with my life, with my wealth, my health, my family. Everything I have is yours. I submit it all to you. I want to be your follower. I want to obey you in every area of my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated to you. Jesus said it this way, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Brothers and sisters, we have to get in our mind that I'm living for eternity. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to have eternal life? I'm talking about every one of us. Every one of us, lost or saved, do you want to follow the Lord? Are you willing to give up everything? Here's the good news. God will give you life. He will give you more than what you give Him. And whatever He gives you will never be taken away. And it's so glorious that if we could just comprehend this, the age to come and the world to come and the glory that He has for us, we would despise what little things we think we have now. Make the exchange. Give up everything to the Lord. As you take communion, only take it if that's your heart. Only take it if that's your heart. Lord, take my life. And if the Lord is working on you and is under conviction, if you don't know you're saved or not, I am here to talk to anyone after the service. Any of the elders will stay here and talk to you. In fact, any Christian here will talk to you. But you don't need to talk to us so much as you need to talk to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you. And I'll give you this promise, this on the authority of the Word of God, that He will forgive you of your sins. Let's pray. Lord, we prepare our hearts for taking communion. And here again, we pick up our cross. We give our church to you as we even think about as a church body and what you would want us to do as a church for us expanding. Lord, we don't know. We just give you our church building. We give you our finances. We give you our people. Shrink us if you want. Grow us if you want. Eliminate us if you want. But get glory whatever you do with what we have. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen.